Good afternoon, and welcome to the Public Radio Party edition of Open Air, Part 1. This week, I'll be partying out with Rebecca Seaman, director of Chamber Chorus Sacred and Profane, who will share details about their spring concert coming up. Joanna Carnero, music director of the Berkeley Symphony, stops by, fresh off the success of the symphony's final performance of the season last week, which we'll hear on the final Monday evening of the month at 9 p.m. for the final broadcast of our full broadcast series of the Berkeley Symphony season. Stephen Haynes, executive director of Sterngrove Festival, will talk about the upcoming season of Grove offerings, always a good time. And director Amy Glazer shares her vision of Seminar, currently at the San Francisco Playhouse. And critic Peter Robinson will stop by to offer some cultural reviews and a preview of the Tiburon Film Festival. Plus, I'll be joined by Barbara Lane of the JCCSF and host of Bina, the show that precedes Open Air every week, with some special incentives to join the Public Radio Party. Stay tuned. The sound of Sacred and Profane, a chamber chorus performing the music of Maurice Ravel. They'll be in concert for a concert billed as The Choir as a Contemporary Instrument, a commemorative concert for Eric Erickson this coming weekend in Berkeley, San Francisco, and next week in Gualala. Bay Area native Dr. Rebecca Seaman leads the ensemble Sacred and Profane. She's a member of the University of San Francisco faculty, where she conducts the university choir and teaches courses in music history and music theory. She has also served as the director of the Chancel Choir at St. Ignatius Church here in San Francisco, and has been a member of the faculty at UC Santa Cruz, among other institutions. Welcome to Open Air, Rebecca.
Thank you for having me.
So nice to have you, indeed. Let's get our listeners on board with the meaning of profane as it applies to choral music. Now, I hope there's no need for us to turn down the radio or remove young children from listening range. Is that correct?
We're pretty, careful in that way. No, it's basically secular music. But yeah, the title, you know, the choir's been around for 36 years, and they chose that title both as an homage to Benjamin Britten, who has a choral cycle of the same name, a really wonderful a cappella choral cycle, but also just to show what our mission is, which is to perform a very broad array of high-quality classical repertoire from all eras and all periods, you know, at as high a level as we can accomplish.
Right. Well, the ensemble goes back to 1977.
Yeah,
how many years have you been
time.
Involved with it?
10 years this year, actually. Yeah.
And this concert, again, is billed as a contemporary instrument. The choir is a contemporary instrument, a commemorative concert for Eric Erickson, a very influential Swedish choral conductor who passed away a year ago in February, I believe.
Yes, exactly.
What was his influence on you?
Huge. my mother's Swedish, so when determining the area that I was going to focus on, Swedish choral music was the obvious direction to take because choral music is at such a high level in that country. And so I started to take conducting courses there in summers and whatnot, and was able to take a class with him in 1998, which was hugely influential on me in all kinds of ways. He was a remarkable figure. But the idea of the contemporary instrument, he really brought the choral art up to a very significant level and built choirs that advanced conductors or advanced composers of the time that were writing really difficult repertoire were able to craft very, very challenging repertoire for specifically for those choirs.
So talking specifically about his craft, why would he be considered, quote, arguably the most important choral conductor of the 20th century? And how has he exactly influenced other composers and conductors like yourself?
Yeah, well, you know, he really talked about the whole community of choral musicians, and he really fostered that entire community. You know, he worked for the Swedish Choral Society. He worked for the university. He did educational workshops. He traveled worldwide to work with composers, conductors, choral musicians of all ages and calibers and skill levels to make it a craft that was experienced by as broad a society as possible. So now in Sweden, choral singing is one of the third largest civic, or is the third most popular civic activity in the country. People sing in all kinds of different choirs through their you know, through their businesses, and, you know, the post office will have a choir, you know, the university economics department will have a choir, you know, whatever. Everybody sings there. And that's largely because of Eriksson's influence and what he cultivated while he was there. And he really worked to try to make that an international trend as well, so that you have people singing music of all levels and all types, from folk music, from popular music, jazz music, all the way up to, you know, as I was saying, very advanced, difficult 20th century microtonal music, minimalism, trickier stuff, 12-tone and whatnot. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole umbrella.
So the program itself coming up this weekend is divided into three sections. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you could elaborate on them. The first section is called The Early Years, Early Music with the Erik Eriksson Kammerchor and the Influence of Schola Cantorum in Basel.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where it started for Eriksson in the 30s and 40s. He went to Basel to Schola Cantorum to study early music and also new music trends that were happening at the time, and started to bring singers with him to that area, and, you know, went through part books. They were sort of from the early wave of performance practice of early music, Renaissance repertoire, and really built their idea of the perfect choral timbre and tone and focus from that school of repertoire. So we wanted to start with that because that really showed how the musicians were creating a very fine-tuned choral timbre. And so that's sort of that was a good place to begin.
And the program goes on with works that Eriksson himself championed and probably arranged commissions for.
Yeah, and actually, even before we get to those more, you know, advanced commissioned works, we focus on a cycle of pieces that have become standard repertoire, canonic pieces in the choral music, things that everybody is going to recognize or know that are familiar with choral music. Debussy, you know, the Ravel that you just played, Barber's The Coolin, pieces that we now sort of take as being canonic works that are partly canonic because Eriksson championed them and recorded them and traveled with them and made them so. And then we move into the more advanced or 20th century microtonal pieces that were either written for Eriksson's choir or are of that type of repertoire. So composers, Thomas Jennefelt, who was a member of the choir, he sang in the group as well, and Sven David Sandström, who is now in the United States. He's on the faculty at University of Indiana in Bloomington. But they have both really been wonderful contributors to the 20th century choral model in Scandinavia and abroad.
What can you give me something specific that you like? For instance, I'm a flutist. I think whenever I pick up my flute, I think of my mentor, Bernie Goldberg of the Pittsburgh Symphony, and always something that he said from one of his mentors comes into my head.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there's a particular technique or something
absolutely.
You bring into rehearsal every time you...
Yeah, you know, it's funny. That workshop that I did with Eriksson was really challenging for me. And it was one of those experiences where you're sort of, you know, you're going through it going, I know that when I get to the end of this, that in years to come, I'm going to be able to look back at this and, you know, and remember all the gifts that I got from the experience. And it's definitely been that way. You know, I can't think of a rehearsal or a concert where I'm at some point during that experience, I'm not correcting my technique according to what Eriksson worked with me on. The sense of legato of, you know, that everything that you do, every gesture that you do in some way pulls your ensemble along with you. And to, you know, it's up to you to weave all of those lines together. You have to keep that texture intact with your gesture very specifically. So he was wonderful that way. And also from him, you know, that he assigned in that workshop that I did with him, one piece to each conductor in the workshop. And for me, it was the Kulin. He gave me the Barber Kulin. So we're performing that in this concert. That's sort of a little special thing for me to get to do.
Oh, very nice. And very a special personal tribute. That's
yeah,
nice.
Absolutely.
Nice. So what's happening beyond this tribute concert this coming weekend for Sacred and Profane?
We have a great year coming up next year. We will be doing Eastern European music in our first concert. We'll do a Valentine's Day concert in the middle of February. And then our big thing for next year is going to be a concert for wind ensemble and choir in May of next year. We'll be singing Stravinsky's Mass and Bruckner's Mass in E minor and another Swedish piece by the composer that I've worked with a lot, whose name is Karin Rehnqvist. A piece called The Angel with the Fiery Hands. So we're very excited about that program and really spreading the word as much as possible about it now.
Well, I hope you'll come back and talk to us about that.
Would love to.
Let's hear some more music, but not before I thank you for coming on Open Air today and our public radio party here, Central. Public Radio Party Central. I understand you have to shuffle off to a rehearsal, so I do hope you'll visit us again soon.
Would love to. Thanks
Tell
for having me.
Tell us what we're going to hear now as we say goodbye.
So this is a piece by Swedish composer Tomas Jennefelt called Villa Rosa Sarialdi. It's a minimalist work that incorporates a sort of nonsense text that sounds somewhat Italianate that Jennefelt wrote in order to match the music. The music came first and the text came later. And yeah, represents a style of music that was really popular in Sweden in the 80s and 90s with this you know, approach to minimalism that was working its way from United States into Scandinavia.
Well, thanks for sharing that as well, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Concert information at sacredprofane.org. The concerts are Saturday on 8 o'clock at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Berkeley, Sunday the 11th here in San Francisco at St. Francis Lutheran, and then on the 17th at the Gualala Arts Center in Gualala, just north of Sea Ranch. To join Sacred and Profane's 36th season, this concert, a commemorative concert for Erik Eriksson. Lots more to come today on Open Air, including a visit with Joanna Carnero of the Berkeley Symphony, Amy Glazer, director of seminar at the San Francisco Playhouse, Stephen Haynes, executive director of Sterngrove, and regular contributor Peter Robinson. But I'd also like to take a moment to engage Barbara Lane in the public radio party here on KALW. Bina precedes Open Air here on KALW, both homegrown programs, both I think welcome additions to the arts situation here in the Bay Area.
And it's so much fun, David. Thank you to be here listening to Open Air. What a rich cultural feast you have. It's wonderful. I want to thank Jill McCready of Redwood City, a new member, a sustaining member, who came in at the $120 level and said, it does feel good to finally subscribe. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for new members. If you just moved to the Bay Area, what better way to become part of this rich, vibrant community than to become a member?
Well, how might people do that, Barbara?
Well, all they have to do is pick up the phone and call 1-800-525-9917 or go online, kalw.org, and instantly you can be part of this incredible cornucopia of culture, information, everything you need is right here.
I think you just got my new catchphrase for Open Air, a cornucopia of culture.
Do you like it?
I kind of like that.
Oh, good.
Now, I had mentioned a couple of the guests that are still to come. Just missed this hour, and I have to admit that sometimes it's a bit intimidating coming out of the 12 o'clock hour of Bina with the incredible lineup of guests and speakers that you have over at the JCCSF. Today, Isabel Allende, at Garrison Keillor a while back, Bob Saget later this month. It's a pretty
amazing
lineup. And
we just had Paul Stanley of KISS, who actually recorded a promotion for KALW that I think is part of your public radio party. So we bring local to these national guests. They come to us. We all come together, and that's something we can do here on this station. 800-525-9917. You can be a part of it. You can join us. It's your participation that helps make KALW so robust and so reflective of this wonderful Bay Area we all feel lucky to live in.
It's pretty astonishing what we give our listeners here, and it's just twice a year that we ask them to give something back if they can. Now, we have a number of thank you gifts that are always available and described at our website, but there are a few that are actually relate specifically to today's guests, whether we've heard from them or not, even before we talk with them. I'm wondering if you could share one of those.
Absolutely. So for $120, you get a pair of tickets to the San Francisco Playhouse production of Seminar or the upcoming Into the Woods. The performance dates and information are available at sfplayhouse.org. So all you have to do is become a part of our party, our public party, our wonderful radio station, and give us a call at 800-525-9917. And those tickets are yours.
That's right, 800-525-9917. We'll be talking with Amy Glazer of the San Francisco Playhouse shortly. And another gift with my next guest, who's about to assemble here at the microphone, has to do with the Stern Grove Festival. Steve Haynes is in his eighth season as a director of the Stern Grove Festival itself in its 77th season, which gets underway officially on June 22nd with a special concert appearance by Smokey Robinson with Patty Austin. Steve is responsible for maintaining the organization's mission, which, similar to KALW's, includes being funded by and supported by the entire community. Steve, welcome back to KALW in open air.
Thank you so much. Glad to be part of the party today.
Yes, let's mention straight off that as an incentive to support KALW and in particular our arts coverage, we're offering picnic table seats and free parking to listeners who are able to offer us a $120 contribution, with the exception of that opening concert on the 22nd. So let's get people peppered about the coming season of Stern Grove.
It is a great season, like you said, the 77th season. Hard to imagine that this organization, so rich in its history, be able to maintain. And like you said, similar to the station here with public radio, it's we need everybody's support, and so hopefully everybody calls in today to make a contribution as well to the station here. But we kick off the 77th season on June 22nd with a fantastic opening, as you said, with the legendary Patty Austin, Smokey Robinson, and it really is going to be a great note, high note, to start the season.
Sure, and what's coming up as we work our way through the sometimes foggy, sometimes sunny season of Stern Grove?
It's always sunny at Stern Grove Festival. Come on. It's such a great cross-section of the Bay Area and really represents, I think, the diversity of what is here with all the cultural arts, whether it's jazz or folk or indie or classical music. But, of course, we have on July 6th the San Francisco Symphony, who actually was the first performance ever at Stern Grove Festival. And then we follow through with some great New Orleans jazz and funk of the Funky Meters.
Rufus Wainwright coming in July.
July 27th. I think that is going to be great. Elton John said that Rufus Wainwright is the greatest singer-songwriter of our time, which says a lot. And then going on through August, we have Andrew Bird. August 10th is just going to be a highlight of Miss Darlene Love, who was the original part of Phil Spector's Wall of Sound and just won that wonderful Academy Award for the 20 Feet from Stardom, that great documentary. And then the last two shows of the season, August 17th with Sergio Mendez, and then wrapping up on August 24th with The Zombies.
Why, heck, for $120, you can get picnic table seats and free parking to any one of these concerts, with the exception of June 22nd. By calling what number, Barbara Lane?
1-800-525-9917. I love Stern Grove. There's nothing like sitting out there on it's not always a beautiful afternoon, but there are blankets and there are things things one can do to keep warm. I noticed Steve has an incredible sunburn, and I'm wondering where he got that. It cannot have been at Stern Grove.
Thank God this isn't TV today. But actually, this past Sunday, we had our first Grove on the Road performance out in the community. It's this new program we just started, and actually taking these mini pop-up concerts out to neighborhoods and communities. So we're trying to reimagine what cultural space can be, whether it's a closed-off street, a playground, a parking lot, and we really have been having some great fun. But I got a little bit of sun on Sunday.
But this is the kind of thing that happens in San Francisco. This is the kind of thing that happens at KALW.
That's right.
So by becoming a part of this station, you can engage in all of this wonderful cultural diversity and be a part of the family. 1-800-525-9917, and you are in the door.
That's right.
And you have your ticket to local public radio.
And if you're able to offer us a $120 gift, we'll give you two seats at a picnic table for any one of the Stern Grove concerts you may be interested in.
And parking.
Free reserved parking.
That's a big deal.
That's a bargain in itself.
Not so bad. And I think, like you were both saying, too, I mean, KALW and Stern Grove Festival are so similar, but it's really about accessibility. It's about accessibility to the arts. And our founder back nearly 80 years ago really reimagined what space can be. She took a park and then turned it into a true performing arts center. And so it's safe to come. Not only is it admission free, but it's just relaxed. And like you were saying, Barbara, bring your lawn chair, your picnic table, your blanket, your food, and just have a great time.
And with that spectacular rehabilitation of the Stern Grove, how many years ago was that now?
That is almost 10 years now.
It's just a beautiful place to visit. It really is stunning.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the Grove on the Road series. You've got one coming up on the 17th, I believe. That's going to be at
The 17th, that would be at Grover Cleveland Elementary School in Excelsior District, not too far from here, just down the road. And then also on June 1st, we'll be at the Noe Valley Town Square right on 24th Street. And that, I know, will be a fantastic day as well. So it's really an exciting program for us to go out and meet with people that have never been to Stern Grove Festival before, or further engage and deeper engage with the audiences that we have. But also on the artistic side, we're actually taking talent from our Stern Grove Festival stage and taking it out on the road, but while at the same time discovering some new talent in our hopes that next season in 2015 they'll be with us at Stern Grove Festival.
Right, and these on-the-road things aren't just about giving concerts. This one on the 17th includes a dance workshop with Dole Rhythm, storytelling, and a music workshop, plus food trucks and community information fair. So it's really a really wonderful way to engage the community.
It wouldn't be a San Francisco event without food trucks, would it?
Absolutely, exactly.
So we mentioned the picnic table that you could get for a $120 contribution, two seats at a picnic table at Stern Grove. But how does the picnic table lottery work for people that aren't familiar with the picnic table lottery?
You can go onto our website and on the Monday mornings, so the day following the performances, you can go onto the website, enter, send your email in, and that would be for the following Sunday concert. And so it's a public lottery that we hold for each one of the performances. But definitely, like with KALW, membership to Stern Grove Festival as well would guarantee you a seat at any one of the performances. So, we all need the support, but for concerts like this, it's so wonderful to come out, support Stern Grove Festival, support KALW.
All of that information at sterngrove.org. And again, you can make your contribution to KALW at our website, kalw.org. I should point out also that there's a nice KFOG interview archived at sterngrove.org where listeners called in with their favorite Stern Grove memories. That was a nice
We had
touch.
A lot of fun that morning. Yeah, That's and great. Everybody has a great memory. I mean, I can't tell you how many times when I see our audience members, they tell me these stories of the first time they ever saw a live performance was at Stern Grove Festival, the first time they ever heard the San Francisco Symphony.
Or they saw the ballet.
Or saw the ballet or the opera. And so I know when I hear those stories, I know that we have fully succeeded in the mission. And I just love that. And we have volunteers that have actually been volunteering for the festival 40 years, 45 years. And when they came with their mother or their grandmother, it really is great. A lot of pinch me moments throughout the summer months.
Fantastic. Again, more information at sterngrove.org. Steve, thanks for taking a little time today.
Thanks, Steve. This was great. Thanks for having me. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
A terrific cast has been assembled at the San Francisco Playhouse for Teresa Rebeck's play Seminar, including Lauren English, who has been a past guest on Open Air on several occasions, Natalie Mitchell, Patrick Russell, James Wagner, and Charles Shaw Robinson, who acts as the Svengali-esque teacher in Seminar. seminar, a role memorably played during the Broadway run by Alan Rickman and later Jeff Goldblum. At the San Francisco Playhouse, it's directed by my guest Amy Glazer, who is also Associate Artistic Director at the Playhouse. In addition to directing throughout the Bay Area and bringing numerous world, American, and West Coast premieres to life, she's a filmmaker and teaches theater and film at San Jose State University. Amy, welcome to Open Air.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So let's get a brief synopsis of Seminar, if you would be so kind.
Well, Seminar is a is based lightly, I guess, on the life of Gordon Lish, who was a very famous and infamous editor. Raymond Carver was one of his great creators, or the person that he worked hand in hand with. And I think it's about the relationship between teacher and student, between mentor and mentee, and between young artists and their work, and into that, and older artists, because Leonard, in many ways, is a complex and tragic figure. He seems like a sadist at times, but ultimately he knows just what these students need, and he sees right through them, and he pushes them to places that you have to go when you need to create authentic good art. Right. So it's interesting. He's maligned. He's misunderstood, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Well, the play plays, so to speak, on the inherent insecurities of being a writer or any, really anyone in the arts. The am I good enough? The why is he successful and I'm not so much? And the what am I doing here kind of thing. So these people paid a lot of money to spend 10 weeks with this mentor, and they're put through the ringer, so to speak. And we learn a lot more about them in the process.
Absolutely. Grace under pressure or not. And I guess the comedy comes when it's not. But the fact is, they actually are all good writers in and of themselves. And I think they are hoping that somehow he will bring meaning to their work and help launch their careers. And it's a painful journey because he, you know, he doesn't suffer fools lightly, and he is very direct in his approach. And he is also not all there, and you know, trying to keep plates spinning himself as he keeps his own career going as a writer.
Well, let's explore the interiority versus the exteriority of the play, shall we?
Yes, because
tell me why I said that.
Well, that's in one of the discussions of Yaddo. One of the actors is not actors. One of the characters is talking about what he understands and how he's applied it to his work.
That's Douglas, who's played by Patrick Russell,
played with pitch-perfect perfection, if you ask me, but they all are. It's an amazing ensemble of actors, which makes the work so much fun and which makes the interiority possible. I've been directing Teresa Rebeck for many years. I also adapted one of her plays, The Scene, into a feature film, Seducing Charlie Barker, and then at San Jose Rep, I directed The Understudy. So I have a shorthand with this brilliant, fabulous woman. And what I learned about her work early on is that what lives underneath the text, the subtext of her work, is where most of the comedy lives, and also the pathos and the complexity and the heart. And to really do Teresa Rebeck's work a service is to make sure that you own the heart that lives underneath the bad behavior. But let's say the bad behavior is so delicious to watch that, that you need both. And it's modulating that becomes so much fun, especially when you have the kind of ensemble that I've been working with, led by Charles Shaw Robinson, who is truly a Bay Area treasure.
That line, interiority versus exteriority, uttered by Douglas, who is actually a writer himself and the nephew of a famous writer, but he does kind of get in his own way, so
Correct.
To speak.
But he's hoping that nepotism will take care of that.
Well, he usually trumps all from what I've seen around.
Frankly, you know, and one of the things that one of the wise little things that Teresa Rebeck writes in her book about playwriting, Free Fire Zone, is that this notion that the cream always rises to the top is not always true. It can be a misnomer. Sometimes the cream doesn't rise to the top. Sometimes through nepotism, other things rise to the top, which isn't to say it's always like that. But I guess she's, you know, she has a very clear and concise view of the world, and I don't think she I guess she's not sentimental, but also let's remember this is a satire, and I love directing satire, and Teresa, and the best way to do satire is by making it real. Mm-hmm. So I think that Teresa would be happy with the interpretation and the way we've lifted this play.
Very nice. It's quite a handsome production and a wonderful sound design as well by Theodore Hulsker that really nicely captures some of the tapping of the typewriter and some of the tension there.
He's amazing.
Involved.
He's amazing. It came from our first discussion, and it was one of those things where sometimes a designer gets inside your head. And at the first design meeting, after we had talked, he played this little typewriter musical piece that on one level seemed on the mark, but it was so visceral in the way it made us all feel that I knew he was on the right track. And yeah, I love his design. It's really...
And the production itself, designed by San Francisco Playhouse Artistic Director Bill English. Is there anything he does not do? My gosh. He even served my drink Tuesday because he accidentally kicked it over. So he went back to the lobby and brought me another drink. He's amazing.
I love it.
Bill will be also directing next season's production of Company. So it should be exciting to see what he brings to that production. Seminar nominated as Best Play by the Outer Critics Circle and Drama League after its Broadway run. Runs here in San Francisco through June 14th at the San Francisco Playhouse, sfplayhouse.org, for more information. Amy, I thank you for taking a little bit of time today to share your insights into this wonderful play.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm still joined by Barbara Lane, who has an incentive number and perhaps some lucky listener who is able to offer us a contribution of $120 may... come and see this SF
absolutely,
Playhouse.
Absolutely, David. For $120, you get a pair of tickets to the San Francisco Playhouse production of Seminar or the upcoming Into the Woods. Performance dates and information are available at sfplayhouse.org. There aren't a lot of these, but if you call in now with a $120 pledge, those tickets are for you. And I have to say, David, listening to a discussion about everything coming up at Stern Grove and listening to Amy talk about San Francisco Playhouse, I feel sort of motivated and inspired and excited about what rich cultural offerings we have here in the Bay Area and how incredibly diverse this place is. And KALW reflects that. The programming here reflects this incredible, wonderful place we live in. And we want people to become new first-time members here. We want you to join us in this enterprise, bringing all of this richness to you by the magic of radio. And it's so easy. All you have to do is pick up the phone, give us a call at 1-800-525-9917. You can be a part of something bigger, a part of something good. And believe me, you're going to feel really good when you join.
Not quite the tippy-tapping you'd be hearing at your computer, and not quite the sound design of the play seminar at SF Playhouse. But nonetheless, we're encouraging you to go over to your keyboard and tap in KALW.org to make that contribution to our local music station, KALW San Francisco. Thank you, Barbara, for that $120 incentive, which will get you some two anytime tickets to production of Seminar or of the upcoming Into the Woods. You can also make that pledge at 800-525-9917. Join in the public radio party. Quite a party right here in this room, and we encourage you to join us. Peter Robinson will be on shortly to share his review of Du Barry Was a Lady, starring Bruce Valanche, last week's guest here on Open Air, and tonight's guest on Out in the Bay with Eric Jensen. Peter will also have a film review for us and will offer a preview of the Tiburon Film Festival. So stay tuned. And again, Barbara, the number to call.
800-525-9917. You can join us. You can be a part of something bigger, a truly rich community resource. Be a partner. The JCCSF is so proud to partner with KALW. We love this station. We love what KALW does, both as a community information service, as an entertainment resource, and just people who live here just like you, just like me, who want to really be part of the community and participate. And it's so easy to do.
800-525-9917. A pleasure to welcome back Joanna Carnero, music director of the Berklee Symphony. First of all, congratulations. The final concert last week sold out Zellerbach Hall, garnered some stellar reviews.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here at KLW. Always thank you for your support.
Well, we'll be broadcasting that May 1st concert at the end of this month, Monday, May 26th from 9 to 11. So you can relive that concert experience.
Yes. It's a very special day. We ended the season with Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, which was actually my audition piece back in 2008. December of 2008, I started in 2009 here. So it was really wonderful to go back to that piece and see and feel how much we have grown as a group, how we have a sound of our own, and we're building on that sound. So I think that was particularly moving. And the first half of the concert, I think, was very successful. We played two pieces by Finnish composers, the first one being Esa-Pekka Salonen, who is one of my mentors. I was his assistant in Los Angeles for 4 years at the Los Angeles Philharmonic. And we played his most recent, as far as I know, most recent orchestral piece called Nyx, which is based on a Greek
goddess of the night.
Yes, yeah. And even Zeus was afraid of her. Anyway, it's a very nebulous figure of the literature, but powerful woman. And Esa-Pekka wanted to portray somehow this woman. It's a piece filled with constant variation and transformation. It's really a beautiful tone poem, if I can say that. And after that, we played Adriana songs by Kaija Saariaho. Those Adriana songs are movements taken from the second opera by Kaija Saariaho called Adriana Mater. And this opera was premiered, I would say, almost a decade ago. I'm going to say 2004 or 5. I don't remember. I was the assistant at the premiere of the opera. And the songs were sung by Laura Crum, beautiful mezzo-soprano. So I think it was really a wonderful concert. And I was so proud to see the orchestra playing so beautifully, so happily, and to see Zellerbach Hall sold out, I think, for the first time, at least,
for
since
you.
I've been music director.
Fantastic.
So it's really fantastic to see how we have grown and this trust with our public as well.
Well, it's wonderful that you're continuing not only in this season but in the season ahead to pair some contemporary works with some standard repertoire. Now, back to the Beethoven, everyone knows the da-da-da-dum of
yes.
Beethoven's Fifth, but there's so much more to that piece, movement by movement. And every time I hear it, it's really something.
Yes, without a question. I think it's, thinking about invention, when we think about the third and fourth movements that are sort of integrated in one another, and how in the middle of the fourth movement we go back to the scherzo. I mean, this is so many years ago, and Beethoven, what an invention, an economy of means. We hear it's just fantastic. And the second movement, again, variation, such a beautiful tune that starts with the violas and the cellos, and it's repeated throughout the orchestra. I just think it's one of those great masterpieces, and I wish we would play it more often, actually, because live performances don't come by so frequently, I think, for this piece.
Well, as I mentioned, we will be able to hear it once again on
thank you.
May 26th
thank
from 9 to 11. And speaking of those kinds of numbers, this fall will mark our 10th year of collaborating with the Berklee Symphony in broadcasting. Mm. And this last week's concert, marked the conclusion of your fifth year with the
yes.
Berklee Symphony.
Yes.
Other numbers to think about. It's the first year that we're grouping the broadcasts together all during the month of May, week after week, rather than once every 3 months or 4 months, the way that you perform.
And we are so grateful to you and so many people after our concerts, because we only do single performances, say, when can we hear our performances again? And we're fortunate to say, well, if you tune to KALW, you'll be able to hear it again. And I think for the older pieces too, but especially the new music that is not recorded, and a lot of the pieces we do sometimes are West Coast premieres or premieres, world premieres, and our audience really keeps telling us how much they would like to hear it again. So this is really a wonderful opportunity, not only for the Berklee Symphony, but for the audience of our orchestra to hear those pieces that excited them somehow, but they only got a chance to hear it once.
Now, we are in the middle of our public radio party here at KALW, and one of the party favors that we're offering is the opportunity to enjoy an informal informal lunch with you in Berkeley this fall once the new Berkeley Symphony season is underway. Now, if listeners are able to offer a $500 gift to KALW, we'll arrange for that lunch, which I'm sure will be peppered, as it were, with some lively conversation. We do want to keep this intimate, so we're only offering a limited number of reservations, which will be $500 for one or $750 for a pair. So you can call 800-525-9917 or make a pledge at KALW.org. On top of that, we'll throw in an anytime ticket or two to your concert of choice of the Berkeley Symphony Zellerbach Hall concerts for the 2014-15 season. So, Joanna, what is the number they need to call for that?
It is 800-525-9917.
We do hope you appreciate the arts here on KALW, and particularly the broadcast of the Berkeley Symphony on local public radio. 800-525-9917 for those tickets and the lunch with Joanna at a restaurant soon to be disclosed in Berkeley. $500 for one, $750 for two. And again, we'll throw in a ticket or two to your concert of choice for the upcoming season of the Berkeley Symphony. 800-525-9917 or make a pledge at KALW.org. I mentioned earlier that you're concluding your fifth season as director of the Berkeley Symphony. I'd also like to congratulate you for your first concert earlier this year as music director of the Orquestra Sinfonica Portuguesa.
Thank you so much.
Lisbon. Are you bringing that same enthusiasm of new commissions and standard repertoire to that orchestra?
I hope so. As you know, building trust in terms of programming takes a great deal of time. And I was very lucky to come to Berkeley because Kent Nagano had built that legacy over 30 years before I came. And I just had to continue that tradition that Berkeley already had, that natural openness to listening to new things and combining them with older things. I think in Lisbon, with my new orchestra, certainly from the part of the orchestra, there's great openness to anything that we want to do. The orchestra is also the opera orchestra, so it's a different kind of setting. It's an orchestra that plays all every week together. And there have been some commissions, some new works, but the repertoire of the orchestra has been slightly more focused in music of the past. In my first concert, I started my tenure with a piece by a Portuguese composer. I wanted to make sure that this was a time and a place that I wanted to show exactly who I am as an artist. And I think if I'm consistent in bringing beautiful new music and pairing it with beautiful old music like we do in Berkeley, I think we will be in that same path of renewing our ears and exciting our audiences at all times. But there's room for everything, and fortunately we have a great deal of guest conductors who can do all sorts of repertoire. So I'm in the process of deciding what my first opera will be with this orchestra. So it's always very interesting. Should I go back? Should I go more recent? And I'm really dealing with it, and I really want it to be an important moment in terms of looking forward to the orchestra and making sure the audience knows who I am. I'm Portuguese, and I've been conducting in Portugal for a long time, also with the Gulbenkian Orchestra. So I think people have a sense of who I am that is quite clear. I bring a lot of new music, I think, to the Portuguese stage. So I hope that, but I think it will take a little bit of time to make sure that this is part of the culture of this orchestra.
You've been conducting more and more in Europe now. The career has just been skyrocketing. Congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you.
So with in addition to the work in Europe, what's on your calendar? What's coming up either this summer or even further down the road now that you can plan in years ahead?
Well, this summer I am doing a concert at Spoleto, Dr. Atomic Symphony by John Adams, for example, with Bartok Concerto for Orchestra. And then I'm taking a little bit of time to be home because, you know, the winter season is always very exciting and busy. So it's important to stay home. I'm working with my orchestras in Lisbon.
And we can say working with your new marriage as well,
yes,
2 years
and,
in, right? Fantastic.
And being home with my husband, I think that's the most important thing at this point because this winter particularly was extremely busy. And also I think that I'm one of those conductors who has really a great deal of trouble being on the road all the time. I really need time, first and foremost, to be with my husband, but I do need time to be home and experience a family routine, experience the life of what we call normal people. I mean, who are not on the road all the time, but normal, wonderful, my friends. It's really important for me to have a sense of, I would say, a contrast to the isolation that I live somehow in the rest of the year, because I'm always by myself traveling every year, everywhere. So it's really important to have this routine with my friends, with my family during the summer to refuel and focus and prepare the scores and to listen to music, to go to concerts, to go to the theater, to go to the movies and just experience life in a different kind of routine. So I think it's very important. So I'll be home most of the summer working with a few of my orchestras in Lisbon. I will go to Lyon to work with the Orchestre de Lyon in August. But then starting September 21st, the season starts and it doesn't stop until May 31st of next year. So I really need to refuel the batteries.
Conductor Joanna Carnera. Our special broadcast relationship continues this coming Monday at 9 p.m. with the Berklee Symphony December concert, which featured Brahms' Second Symphony, Australian composer Brett Dean's Carlo, and Haydn's Cello Concerto No. 1 with the San Francisco Symphony cellist Peter Weirich. Do tune in Monday evening at 9 for our continued series of the Berklee Symphony broadcasts. A reminder also to call 800-525-9917 during this, our public radio party. And as you heard in my talk with Joanna, we are offering for a special gift of $500, an intimate lunch with Joanna Carnero, and $750 for two. Restaurant to be disclosed in Berklee. We're working on arrangements for that, but the important thing is a wonderful conversation and a wonderful meal with Joanna. $500 will also throw in a ticket to any one of the four upcoming concerts of the Berklee Symphony when you make that pledge. Barbara Lane is here to help me with those numbers, because I sometimes get dyslexic.
1-800-525-9917. That's all you have to do. Or go online to kalw.org. David, you're going to be at that lunch too, aren't you?
I am indeed.
So that's an extra added bonus if you, and that's just a little more than a dollar a day to get all this great radio and to go to lunch with Joanna and David at a great restaurant. What a deal, huh?
I know. I might just go myself and make the pledge at 800-525-9917. We can also make that pledge online at kalw.org. If that's not within your budget, give us a dollar. Give us $10. Just become involved in this local public treasure that we call KALW.
It's sort of a, it's not a symbolic thing to do, because as I said earlier, if you come over and look at the KALW studios, you know that your money goes directly into the on-air programming. This place ain't the Ritz, but it works, and there's beautiful radio that comes out of it. So if you do give a dollar, you're part of it. You're part of the constituency. You have a voice, and that makes a difference. So please do get on the phone, give a call, 1-800-525-9917. We at the JCCSF are so happy and proud to be partners with KALW. We bring many national, international voices to the air, but we also bring local voices. And that is just so rewarding to be a part of that endeavor here at KALW.
What a swell party it is.
I have heard among this clan, you are called a forgotten man.
Is that what they're saying?
Well, did you ever?
What a swell party this is.
And have you heard the story of a boy, a girl, unrequited love?
Sounds like pure soap opera.
I may cry.
Tune in tomorrow.
What a swell party this is. What frail...
Frank and Dean introducing What a Swell Party This Is with our longtime commentator and longtime friend of public radio, Peter Robinson. Hi, Peter.
Hi, David. Good to be here. And indeed, it is a swell party here. We've got the balloons out. The red banner is flying behind us. Barbara's sitting to my left. And, well, I'm not about to sip champagne, but I'm thinking champagne.
Why not?
Well, there we go. Let's give it a whirl. The music you may associate with high society, which in fact is where it got its public screening performance. But it goes back to a earlier Cole Porter review called Du Barry Was a Lady, which is currently playing at the 42nd Street Mune down at the Eureka Theatre. And you would be surprised how many of these tunes that came in later Cole Porter musicals were actually, I won't say tried out here, but they were part of the original 1939 Broadway production. And if I look at some of those names that appeared first in 1939, we're talking about Ethel Merman. I never thought there was enough oxygen in the room for Ethel when she gave it out. And then, of course, Betty Grable, Gypsy Rose Lee. These are some of the people who played in the original production. Now, here in San Francisco this week, Bruce Valanche, in fact, takes the lead. And it is a story about a guy who wins the sweepstakes. He's a cloakroom attendant at a nightclub. He fancies the nightclub hostess, sets out to seduce her, but he wants to fix the rival. And he puts a little potions in a drink, which he, unfortunately himself, drinks by mistake. And with that, he turns into the French king, Louis the 15th.
Bruce Valanche wonderfully playing the role. He was my guest last week, and we can hear more of Bruce's talk about the role tonight on Out in the Bay at 7 o'clock.
Well, I think it really is a great role, and there's something intimate about the theatre there. You're sitting often within feet of the stage. You've got that sense of intimacy, that connection. They depend on a piano, and I think it's a flutist at different points in the musical backup. So you have that sense of being there. And I think one of the wonderful things, this reminds me that Cole Porter, in fact, started his life at Yale. There's an element of what I call the Yaley Review. He's making that crossover to how musicals would come in the 40s and in the 50s. And one thing I enjoy is tap dancing. There is, early on in the first act, a fast tap dancing number. I think Bob Fosse would have been proud of this one. And I was certainly tapping my foot. So if you like music, if you like, let's put it right, a silly story, a really wonderful romp, very much, I think, in the spirit of, in fact, Louis XV's France, when I think about it, the wigs, the costumes, the setup, and, of course, the lyrics and the music of Cole Porter, then this is the place to go. So one more time, it's the 42nd Street Mune, which presents Du Barry Was a Lady. It's at the Eureka Theatre, and it's running through until May the 18th.
Information at 42ndstreetmoon.org.
Now, I want to say a brief word about the Tiburon Film Festival. It has actually just passed, but I think a few things people don't know about the Tiburon Film Festival is that in conjunction with the Tiburon Film Society, they run on a monthly basis a free movie in Sausalito. And this runs down on Bridgeway. It's at the Bay Street Model. And the upcoming one is called The Harlem Street Singer. It's a film really about a gospel singer who became one of the great ragtime blue gospel musicians in the 1920s and 1930s. And amongst the people you may recognize in the Bay Area is Jack Elliott. That's Rambling Jack Elliott. So it's called The Harlem Street Singer, and it's the story of Reverend Gary Davis and how he moved eventually to Durham in North Carolina to become one of the great guitar masters of the time. So that's another example of where you may find another swell party going on. The entry admission is free. It's part of the Tiburon Film Society. And if you are a filmmaker or a documentary filmmaker, here's the chance, if you're interested, to start submitting your film for next year's presentations at the Tiburon Film Festival.
Speaking of swell parties and film festivals, today is the last day of the San Francisco International Film Festival. Closing night film at the Castro, Alex of Venice by actor Chris Messina, followed by a swell party at the Chapel on Valencia Street. So information on closing day festivities at the film festival's website, sffs.org.
Now, as I was driving in today, I was hearing this number, 800-525-9917, and I was wondering, where is that, in fact?
Well, it's right here, right now. We've got a room of volunteers standing by for your phone call, 800-525-9917. Join in the party. Barbara Lane's here to give you some incentive as well.
Right. Incentive. Over the past half hour, here are some names I've heard. Bird, Ramblin' Jack Elliott, Smokey Robinson, Cole Porter, Bruce Valanche. I mean, that's just a little bit of the richness that KALW brings to your life. You can be part of that richness. You can join us by calling 800-525-9917, especially if you're new to the Bay Area. There's so much to discover. This is such a great way to do it. We would love you to join all of us here and be part of the family.
800-525-9917.
And I might say at nighttime, I am, as an old-time journalist, a great listener of the BBC World Service. So once again, KALW gives you my ears on the world. So in addition to the local programming, I'm glad to keep in touch with what's happening in the Ukraine.
Some wonderful things happening up at the JCCSF coming up, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's never a dull moment there. And coming up over the next few weeks, Joan Osborne and the Holmes Brothers, speaking of gospel music, on June 6th, we have a tribute to our own San Francisco Giants with Bruce Bochy, Brian Sabian, and Larry Bear on June 25th. Former Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner will be at Temple Emmanuel on May 29th. All of those coming up at the JCCSF. And we are proud to partner with KALW. Many of our programs, as you know, are broadcast on Bina. We live stream. We want you to become part of this great party celebrating public radio, KALW.
You hit it on the head. It is all about a partnership. It's about the community we build here at KALW. Peter, I understand you also have a movie review for us quickly.
Yeah, this is just a brief one. It's called The Galapagos Affair. It's called When Satan Came to Eden. And it's playing at the Film Center in San Rafael. An interesting documentary and really a scoop for the filmmakers. They found these old films made by a German couple who went to the Galapagos in the 1920s to escape the Weimar Republic. And suddenly the film takes on a life of itself. There's a murder on the island. There's lots of grainy black and white footage and cut-ins from contemporary filmmakers using full colour. So it's an intriguing story. And again, outside the main circuit, I just want to give a quick plug to the Rafael Theatre, where you often find films you won't find on the main release. So it's called The Galapagos Affair. It's running for two more weeks, and it's at the Rafael Film Centre in San Rafael.
Thank you, as always, Peter, for your insights and comments on the cultural scene, as well as the movies and books you bring to Open Air every chance you can get on the air here. It's wonderful.
Good to be here. Thank you.
And Barbara Lane, I thank you for taking a bit of time out of your busy day and being in the 1 o'clock hour rather than the 12 o'clock hour.
My
here
pleasure.
On KALW.
It's fun over here at 1 o'clock.
We all are all about building community here on KALW, and we do hope you'll take a moment to make that call to 800-525-9917 or making a pledge online at kalw.org. A whole bunch of wonderful gifts are available and described at our website, kalw.org. But again, just to review a few of the special gifts that we're offering during Open Air, they'll remain available to you at our website. But Barbara, I wonder if you could share a couple of things that we've already mentioned this hour just
Absolutely.
About our guests today.
So $120 gets you a pair of tickets to the concert event of your choice during the 2014 Stern Grove Festival. That includes two reserved seats at a picnic table, which is a great place to be. And I know that, having been up in the trees for several events at Stern Grove. Free reserve parking. I cannot overestimate how cool that is. And for the full season lineup, you can go to sterngrove.org. But if you give us a call at 1-800-525-9917, you can get that pair of tickets to Stern Grove.
Speaking of pairs of tickets, we're also offering two tickets for your date of choice, both, I guess, personal date of choice, and for what's coming up at the San Francisco Playhouse, their current production of Seminar or their upcoming Into the Woods, for a $120 pledge at kalw.org or by calling 800 800- 525-9917. And then a very special luncheon that we're offering in Berkeley sometime this fall, a date and place to be determined, with the incredibly dynamic and exuberant conductor Joanna Carnero of the Berkeley Symphony. She and I will be your hosts for lunch and some fun conversation for a $500 gift to KALW. We'll also throw in a ticket to your concert of choice for the Berkeley Symphony 2014-15 season. $750 will get you a pair of the same. 800-525-9917.
You know, the gifts are great, but what's really great is supporting local public radio. What really feels good is joining the family, becoming part of this enterprise, really fully participating in this Bay Area resource. We at the JCCSF feel very committed to local public radio. We feel supportive. We feel happy how KALW supports us and our members. We're all in this together. So join us. Become part of it with us at 1-800-525-9917.
It's the Public Radio Party on KALW. Do join us.
I have heard among this clan you are called a forgotten man.
Is that what they're saying? Well, did you ever? What a swell party this is.
An hour of news from the BBC next here on Local Public Radio. It's 2 o'clock.